welcome to another episode of the Don't Touch My Cigars podcast. If you are a fan of the Don't Touch My Cigars podcast, please be sure to look us up in iTunes and leave a rating or review. Doing so will help other brothers and sisters of the leaf find the podcast. Also, if you have not done so already, please head to DontTouchMyCigars.com to subscribe in your favorite podcast player so that you can receive all future episodes without any delay. This podcast is brought to you by The Old Soul Magazine. The Old Soul Magazine is a quarterly cigar lifestyle magazine, bringing you quarterly deep dives into your next favorite cigar companies and much, much more. You can head to theoldsoulmag.com to subscribe to all past and future issues for just $1 per month. Again, you can go to theoldsoulmag.com. Issue 1 is out and is featuring Gen F cigars. If you would like to learn about the future of Gen F cigars, please head to theoldsoulmag.com to begin reading issue 1. Again, that's theoldsoulmag.com. I'm your host, Aaron Aiken, and in this episode, I got to sit down with my good friend, Brian Donnell, who is a brother of the leaf, fellow member and board member of the Harrisburg Cigar Club, and is someone who, as far as not being inside the cigar industry, is the most knowledgeable cigar industry outsider that I know. So without further ado, let's get into the interview with Brian Donnell. All right, so I go through a series of very simple questions. Okay. Who, what, where, when, why, how.
Mm-hmm.
Standard, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we
Journalism
allow...
101.
Exactly. and as we're talking, obviously, or naturally, questions come up.
Cool.
So we'll just kind of go off the cuff there for that.
Cool.
And a question that you can start to think about. I interviewed Lindsay as a test on Saturday and caught her off guard with the question, so she had to stop and think about it.
Okay.
I interviewed Armando on Monday night, and he had to stop and think about it, too. So let me give you a heads up.
Uh-oh.
And it's not complicated. It's just something they weren't ready for. So the question is, if you could smoke a cigar with anyone, past or present, who would it be and why?
Okay.
So you don't have to answer it now.
Cool.
But maybe let it stew in the back of your mind a little bit.
Roger that.
So that seemed to catch them off guard, so hopefully it doesn't do that for you now. Sitting here in the... This is the Dog Pound?
Dog Pound.
All
Welcome
right.
to the Dog Pound.
And a good friend of mine, Brian Donnell, known you since 2013 in January.
Wow.
Which is when I joined the Cigar Club.
Seems longer.
It does. Yeah, but it's been a good ride.
Mm-hmm.
And I always enjoy coming over here having a cigar with you. It doesn't happen as much as it should.
That's true.
Which is on me.
We've had some good times, but yeah, we've kind of fallen off. We gotta pick up the pace a little bit more.
It's life. I mean,
life does get in the way.
It does.
Dad.
Too much. That.
Yeah,
for
man.
Sure. Yeah.
That will derail all your social plans. So
yes, it does.
Don't feel bad.
Yeah. So sitting here having a Alec Bradley in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You said you picked it up in Virginia.
I picked this up in a little shop in Virginia. I was just really passing through on my way back home and found this little shop, stopped in, said, oh, you know, I want to sit back, have a cigar on my way home. And I saw these on the shelf and I bought all they had. Haven't seen these anywhere in years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great,
great
smoke.
Cigar. Yeah,
great
good cigar.
Yeah,
and, you're pairing it with
Michter's Small Batch Bourbon. Yeah. another hard to find item that came across this past weekend. And when you and I had scheduled some time to do this, I said, I'm going to save that bottle of Michter's for when Aaron comes over. Because, you know, we always talk about, you know, great cigars and great pairings with whiskey and whatnot, and we never get a chance to do it. Mm-hmm. So I figured, okay, like, we got an appointment. We're going to make it happen this time.
You're a good man.
Well, you know what? I have good friends. What can I tell you?
So I appreciate the hospitality.
Ooh, anytime, brother. Anytime.
It's more just we have a microphone here, but it's always a pleasure to talk.
It's always good.
So this is going to be all about you.
Uh-oh.
So first question is, who are you? Can you tell the... Because
wow.
I know you.
Who am I?
And you can frame it?
And see, that's the question you should have warned me about.
Okay.
That's a tough one.
Is that the tough one?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
You can frame it around cigars if you want, or personal, professional, however you want to...
Let's see. First and foremost, I'm a dad. Got three beautiful kids. Sydney, 24, Justin, 22, Alana, 18. So that's how I identify me. Father first, everything else is secondary.
Yeah
I'm a cigar smoker.
Yeah.
22 years worth of cigar smoking. And I'm an entrepreneur. I've owned several businesses. I'm an IT geek. I don't know. I'm just a guy that loves having a good time. In whatever shape, form, or fashion that comes in.
Yeah.
I love doing this with friends, having a cigar, having a good drink, and just sit down and talking with, you know, people like you and the other guys in the club. This to me is it. You know, this is what I live for at the end of the week. You know, rough work week, and you get a chance to do this on a Friday with good friends. To me, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Not much else to ask for.
You know, I keep it simple.
Yeah.
So.
All right, fair enough. So, if you can go back in time, mm-hmm. can you remember, you said 22 years you've been mm-hmm. smoking cigars. Can you remember the first cigar?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can you?
I remember like it was yesterday.
All right, can you describe that? What was it? Where were you? Who were you with? What did you think of it?
It was the day that I brought my son Justin home from the hospital after he was born. And Justin was the first of my parents' male grandchildren. My brothers and my sister and I, we all had girls first out of the gate, and Justin was the first boy to come along.
Okay.
So I wanted to commemorate the occasion, so I talked to my brother Juan, and he recommended some cigars for me to buy, which I did. Passed some out to good friends, and he said, you know, you ought to try smoking one of these for yourself. So I did. February 15th, in my garage.
All right.
Snowstorm.
Uh-huh.
Freezing. It was an Ashton 898 natural.
Okay.
Smoked it, got about halfway through it, put it down, wasn't a big fan. After that, I immediately picked up a Partagas number 1 and completely fell in love. I knew then that was my flavor palette, not so much the mild to medium Connecticut shade kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I knew that I was looking for something deeper, a little bolder.
Yeah.
Fell in love with the dark wrapper, just a beautiful cigar. And I sat there and froze my tail off in my garage smoking that cigar because I did not want to put it down. And been hooked ever since.
Ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rest is history.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you initially started commemorating your
mm-hmm.
son.
Birth of my son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now 22 years have gone by. You've developed your palate.
Yeah.
And you have developed relationships in the industry. You know a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know a lot of different cigars.
That I do.
What is your go-to now?
Can't honestly say that I have a go-to because my taste changes with the wind. It depends on mood, depends on time of day, depends on what I've done before, what I'm about to do after. So it's tough for me to pick a go-to. But if you gave me a top three...
That's fine. Okay. I can do that. I can do top three.
Gave me a top three.
Yeah.
And this is purely based on the fact that if I have a go-to cigar, then it means that's something that I can smoke every day. So that price point becomes a huge consideration in go-to cigar. It doesn't necessarily mean it's my favorite.
Right.
But the first cigar that I reach for every single morning after my first meeting and I'm having a cup of coffee is a Cubana Con Habana.
Nice.
That's
okay.
The first cigar that I reach for in my humidor.
Okay.
They're beautifully constructed. The flavor profile is exactly what I'm looking for. It's got depth. It's got all the characteristics I look for in a great cigar, including a reasonable price point.
Right.
After that, Florida Gonzales. Again, beautifully constructed, tremendous flavor. Everything in that line, I call it a flavor bomb. It just explodes in your mouth. And again, price point. If it's a $15 cigar, it's kind of tough for me to want to smoke that every day or to call that a go-to. When you start getting into the $15 range, I consider those to be a special occasion smoke.
Sure, yeah.
And third would probably be Arturo Fuente. Although the ones that I prefer to smoke in the Fuente line, like Don Carlos and Opus X and things like that, certainly, you know, special occasion smokes, but I love the Fuente Sun Grown Rosado and the Fuente Double Chateau. Love them. Have smoked those for years. Absolutely love them.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of them.
Okay. So if price point is not an issue.
If that's
not a consideration, then what are you reaching for?
Wow. Price is no object, huh? Price is no object. Davidoff, you're the monkey. Padron 50th.
Okay.
And these are in no particular order.
And you've had these?
I've had these.
Okay.
Right. And... ooh. Cohiba Macassar.
Oh.
Cohiba Macassar surprised me when I first smoked one. It surprised me at how good that cigar was. I slept on it. I slept on that cigar completely. When it first came out, I figured, oh, just another overpriced offering from Cohiba. Not even a little bit. Yes, it's pricey. It's pricey. But that's one of those cigars that I don't mind spending $22 for.
Yeah. Why is that?
It's just a great cigar.
Okay.
It's a phenomenal cigar. Like I said, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed smoking that cigar. And I smoked an entire box. And when I got through the box, I'm like, oh, wow, I don't have any more. I got to go get more of these. And at $22 a pop, that's not normally something I say.
Right.
That's not normally something I say. At $22 a pop, I'm like, yeah, that was really good. And, you know, if somebody buys me a box for Christmas, thank you. But I'm not rushing to go get another one. But, yeah, that cigar is outstanding.
Yeah. So what do you look for when you're buying a cigar? You walk into a lounge. What are you going after? Size of company? Or are you going after who you know?
I rarely look at the size of the company. In fact, I used to love the Blend Lab at Cigars International because you didn't know who made the cigar. Okay,
yeah,
so you had to look at the construction of the cigar in terms of where the typical leaves came from. You know, was it a Habano wrapper and a Dominican binder or Cameroon filler or whatever the case may be. You had to shop purely on what the construction of the cigar was. Mm-hmm. You smoke it. If you like it, great. If you don't, you move on to the next one.
Right.
But you don't know who made it.
Right.
That's the way I think cigar shopping should be. Now, granted, there's a lot to be said for brand loyalty. And, you know, you have your favorites. And I've got my favorites,
sure,
too.
Sure, yeah.
But I thought that was just an ingenious way to get people to try cigars that they typically would not try. Because you've got people that are loyal to a brand. Rocky Patel, Drew Estate, Alec Bradley, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
I thought that was just a brilliant idea on the part of the guys at CI to come up with that Blend Lab. And I'm sorry that it had to go away.
Yeah. It's a great idea.
Because every time I walked into CI, that's exactly where I went.
Right.
Exactly where I went. But when it comes time to shopping, if I'm not trying to replace something in my humidor that I've run out of, I go look for what's new. I'll go in and ask, you know, whoever the tobacconist happens to be, what do you got that's new? Especially if it's this time of year. You know,
right.
IPCPR was only a few months
ago.
Yep. I know the new stuff is coming in. What do you got that's new?
Uh-huh.
What do you recommend? And then after that, I'm just looking to, you know, if depending on whether I'm going to buy something to smoke that day or if I'm stocking up to take some things home, smoking something for the day, I spend a little bit more time trying to make a choice.
Right.
Because I'm only going to buy one.
Right.
Maybe two.
Right.
Sit down to have a cigar with you or Steve or somebody
sure.
else,
yeah.
and then I'm going to hightail it on home. But if I'm stocking up, I'm going to grab a cross section of things. I'm going to grab, you know, the medium bodied stuff. I'm going to buy the full bodied stuff. I'm going to buy the stuff that I don't get to smoke a lot. I'm going to buy the high-end stuff that I got to ask somebody for the key to the cabinet, you know, to get into it.
Right.
But if I'm when I'm looking, I look for a couple of things. Again, if I'm looking to replace something in the humidor, I might be looking for a particular brand, but I'm really looking for, how did I feel when I smoked that cigar? I want to recreate that feeling. I want to recreate that time. I want to recreate that whole setting. So I need that cigar again. And, you know, there's, people always ask, you know, the question, like, you know, what's your favorite cigar and what do you like about smoking a cigar? And I remember Steve said one time he enjoyed the camaraderie about sharing a cigar with, you know, with friends.
Right.
And I couldn't agree with him any more than that.
Yeah.
But for me, I look at cigar smoking as an experience. Now, I may have my favorite cigars, but if you were to ask me what my best or my favorite cigar smoking experience was...
That is a question.
It may not have been with my favorite cigar.
Okay.
Okay. So
what makes that? What makes that experience for you?
It's everything. It's all the factors that go into it. It's the environment. It's who you're smoking with. It's what you ate before you smoked the cigar. It's what you ate and drank after you smoked the cigar. It's what you ate and drank while you were smoking the cigar. Who were you with? What were you doing? Was it a special occasion? Was it just you sitting on the patio, you know, at the dog pound having a good time on a Thursday night?
Right.
It's all of those things that go into it. And then how good was the cigar? But, you know, there's something to be said for enjoying a cigar with people that you really enjoy smoking a cigar with. It just makes it taste better.
Right.
Really does.
The people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Can you describe an experience that you had where you felt like where everything kind of met, where you wanted it to meet, where it was the pinnacle cigar experience for you?
Best cigar smoking experience. I was in Vegas, 2004. It was my father-in-law's wedding, and my wife at the time, we, you know, had some folks fly out, and, you know, we threw his wedding for him and everything. And the night after the ceremony, we were all having dinner. I think we're having dinner somewhere in Mandalay Bay. And I went to the Davidoff shop there, and I picked up a Davidoff Double R. And we went to a bar at about 8 o'clock, and I lit that cigar. And we're smoking and drinking and dancing and having a great time and, you know, sampling all this great Russian vodka. And I didn't put that cigar down till 1 a.m. Now, it's a big cigar, but it's no good reason it should have taken 5 hours to smoke.
Wow.
But because you're interacting and you're having these great conversations and you're reminiscing about this momentous occasion that took place during the course of the day. And I was happy to be able to share that with him. You know, my father-in-law, you know, may he rest in peace. I had a great time with him. He was just one of the funniest people I ever met. And I used to love just sitting back. And he wasn't a cigar smoker at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he was just fascinated with the fact that I smoked him. And I just loved just sitting down talking with that guy. And we spent the night just having the best time. And that cigar is, again, not necessarily a favorite cigar, although it's a pretty darn good cigar.
Right.
But that experience, that was the best cigar smoking experience I ever had.
Okay. And you've had nothing to really touch that since then, since 2004.
I haven't even smoked that same cigar since 2004.
Okay.
I'm sure there are some items that came close, but that one sticks out.
Yeah.
Because of everything else that went along around it.
Yeah, the whole day.
Exactly.
The whole experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. When you are going to have a cigar, whether you're here at your house or you're going to a lounge, are you looking to pair it with anything else, or... do you need to have that, or is it more really just about the cigar and the experience, not necessarily having a drink or anything to go with it?
I don't necessarily look to pair it with anything, especially if I go to the lounge.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me, I keep a bottle of whiskey in my locker, so that's always there if I want to. But a lot of times, I just want to sit down with a cigar and read the news, you know, watch SportsCenter, something like that.
Yeah.
But... If I do decide to pair it with something, and I you know, set out with intent that I'm going to go to the lounge, but first let me stop by the liquor store because
right.
I have a hankering for a glass of Michter's small batch bourbon or something like that, then yeah, but that needs to be that needs to be thought out in advance. I'm just not that smart. I'm not that calculating. I'm just spur of the moment. Hey, I want to go smoke a cigar.
Right.
Sometimes I don't even have any idea what I'm going to smoke. I get to the lounge, I root around in my locker and find something. Oh, I haven't smoked this in 6 months. Let me try one of these.
Yeah.
But usually when it comes to pairing, with any real intent, that's usually a special occasion. That's after Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
My brothers and the whole family are over here. I'll break out a bottle of Johnny Blue. Hey, guys, we're going to drink this, and we're going to smoke the oldest thing I've got in my humidor right now.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that's not very often.
Okay.
No, for me, it's just, I mean, I can smoke a cigar with a glass of water and be fine.
Right.
But,
yeah.
The one thing I found is I can smoke a cigar and not drink, but I can't drink and not smoke a cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I have the same inkling as well.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me.
Do you tend to go more towards bourbon or scotch?
I'm a bourbon guy. I always have been.
Okay.
I love scotch.
Yeah.
But the scotch that I really like, the prices have just gotten to be so ridiculous that it's easy to fall back on bourbon. I can get a really good bourbon for the same price as a middle of the road scotch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's too easy.
Yeah. Well, like you were saying, this one's $40.
$40. What's not to like?
And it's beautiful. And it's smooth.
Yep.
Very good. Yeah. How about, so we're kind of veering off cigars a little bit, but it's fine. It's still within the lifestyle. So how about cocktails?
Mm.
Do you experiment with those? And if you need to relight, please.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to.
Definitely.
I don't know that I would say I experiment.
Okay.
Because I'm a purist at heart when it comes to cigars and liquor. To me, a mixed drink is an ice cube in my bourbon. But I love a good old-fashioned. I love a good Manhattan, as you well know.
Yes, sir.
I'll drink a martini from time to time. But other than that, that's the extent of my cocktailing. I like my bourbon neat with a glass of water on the side, the way God intended.
Yeah. I gotta do the same.
I love this cigar. It's a nice slow burn.
It is slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alec Bradley cigars, one of the reasons I've always loved them is that their cigars are really dense with tobacco. There's a ton of tobacco in here.
But it still draws really nice.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot tell that it's packed.
Clearly, those guys know what they're doing when it comes time to roll one of these.
So you've traveled quite a lot,
mm-hmm.
All over the country, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably been to a lot of different cigar lounges.
Yeah.
What do you look for when you're doing that? Say it's a new city you've never been to.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find a lounge? How do you judge that lounge?
The Where to Smoke app. Is my best friend when I travel. And I'm always looking for something that's close by where I'm staying.
Okay.
And if it's close by walking distance, that's even better. But, you know, I'm willing to, you know, do a 15, 20-minute type of, you know, range as far as travel goes. So proximity is the first thing. And after that, then I'll ask the question of, do they have a bar or are they bring your own? The ones with a bar are typically the ones I'll hit first.
Okay.
Those are the ones I'll hit first.
Okay.
Because now I got to, if it's bring your own, now I got to find a liquor store.
Right.
And then I've got to, and I don't want to have to go through all that.
Right.
I want to be able to do one-stop shopping.
Yeah.
Let me go in, grab a cigar, grab a drink, and sit on down and commence with the celebrating.
Okay.
I look for the ones that have a bar. The thing that I've noticed about cigar lounges, and this applies to every single one that I've ever walked into, is that you could be in a brand new city, don't know anybody in there from Adam's House Cat, and by the time you leave, you've made 3, 4, 5 new friends. You're like family.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Is that customers or staff or both?
Sometimes both.
Okay.
Sometimes both. I take a lot of personal recommendations because, you know, like you mentioned before, I know a lot of people in the industry.
Yeah.
So when I'm going to a new city, I'll call one of them and say, hey, I'm going to blah, blah, blah. What cigar lounge do you recommend? And they'll say, well, go to this lounge, ask for this guy, he's the owner. And when I do a little bit of name dropping, next thing you know, the red carpet gets rolled out. So, yeah, I'm not above dropping a name.
Okay.
I'll do that in a heartbeat. It gets me a little special treatment.
Well, it's part of having the relationship.
I like to think so.
They know things that you don't.
And it certainly, it makes it it makes it a little bit easier when I go in and ask for a recommendation. Because, you know, sure. The first time you walk into a humidor, if the guy doesn't know you, they're gonna follow you around and ask you the obligatory questions. Oh, well, what do you normally smoke? What's your flavor profile? Yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And I always answer with, I'm just looking for something I can't get at home. So direct me to the stuff in here that's a boutique brand.
Right.
Direct me to the stuff that you don't sell a lot of. Direct me to your house blend. I love a good house blend. And you know, sometimes they've got some stuff I haven't smoked. Sometimes, you know, it's pretty much the same old story in a lot of stores, and that's fine. I never worry about what a lounge's selection is.
Okay.
I can always find something to smoke.
Right.
That's easy.
Right.
That's easy.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't put cigar lounges through too much of a critique process. If it's clean, if I find something to smoke, and the staff is courteous, and the clientele is engaging in conversation, I'm good. Yeah. I don't need anything else. And yeah. Even if I'm just sitting there by myself, if you ask me if I want something to drink, and I say no thank you, and you go away and leave me for an hour to my cigar, I'm good. I'm not going to hold that against you. Mm-hmm. You've asked me once, and I'm good. If I need something, I can come back and ask you, but leave me alone with CNN.com and and a cigar, and I'm good. I'll at least 60 to 90 minutes, and I'll be out of your hair.
Yeah. So what are some standout cigar lounges that you've been to in the past 2 years?
Now, are we talking lounge as in a lounge in a store, or are we talking about an actual cigar bar?
Either one.
The ones with the bars, I think, have an unfair advantage because they have a bar. So let's put them off by themselves.
Fair enough.
I guess my favorite one in that category has got to be Club Macanudo in New York.
Okay.
It's just got everything. It's beautifully appointed. It's got a doorman, for crying out loud.
Really?
Yeah, got a doorman. So
not many have that.
I've never been to a cigar lounge had a doorman. So that is the only one that I've ever seen. But they've got all the premium whiskeys. They've got a phenomenal menu, great ambiance. I mean, it's just a great place to sit and relax. And they get live jazz in there on the weekend.
Nice.
And the food is just amazing. So
they prepare it there?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Full menu, steaks, chicken, chops, burgers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Finger foods. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
They do some really good cocktails. Their bartenders know what they're doing with a shaker. They can mix up a pretty serious martini.
Yeah.
And along that same vein, Ashton Lounge in Philly, I think is right up there with. Now, granted, they don't have food, but their cocktails are probably amongst the most creative I've ever had. Their guys really know what they're doing. Now, while they don't have a doorman, they do have a humidor attendant. So he can certainly guide you to whatever it is you need to smoke if you don't really have any inkling about what you want to light up that night.
Just don't drink too much if you're going to leave, right?
That staircase is pretty scary coming up. So going down after a couple of those Ashton Martinis, good luck to you. I've had some rough experiences on those stairs.
Yeah.
But, another one that I've only been to once, I'm dying to get back there again, is a place outside of Las Vegas called La Casa. Beautiful lounge. So it's relatively small, but again, really interesting cocktails. And this is one of those stores that, even though it has a small humidor, they've got a great selection. Like I said, I've only been there once, and I'm dying to get back there again.
Yeah. What do you mean, real quick? What do you mean by a great selection?
Diverse selection. So they may, you see stores in a lot of cases that have, you know, they may have a lot of facings, but it's all Perdomo, it's all Rocky Patel, it's all Drew Estate. That to me isn't a great selection. That's just a lot of facings.
Right.
Because those guys make a lot of facings. But when you've got the big boys and you've got the boutiques and you've got kind of the family-owned cigar companies that aren't really the big boy, but they're too big to be called a boutique. When you've got all those, that's a great selection.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, and then, you know, look, God bless the Rocky Patels and the Nick Perdomos and the Jonathan Drews of the world. Those guys are making phenomenal cigars. They have earned the success that they enjoy and the following that they enjoy. They've absolutely earned it.
Sure.
I don't begrudge anybody that kind of success. You didn't get in this business to give cigars away.
No.
All right?
Yeah.
You're making a ton of money. God bless you. Keep on doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Me personally, I like a good boutique cigar. And I like cigar lounges that aren't afraid to venture out there and bring boutiques into their humidor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not many do that.
Not a lot do.
Yeah.
But it's... In a lot of cases, it's simply because the boutique brands don't have the sales force that
right.
the big guys do. They can't get to every store.
Yeah.
They're just not big enough to do that.
Yeah.
And so they've got to pick and choose the stores that they want their product in.
Yeah.
That's a serious job. That takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of footwork. It takes
mm-hmm.
a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a lot of times it's just hit or miss.
Yeah.
You know, you put your cigar in some place. Maybe it sells. Maybe it doesn't.
Right. It's true. Yeah.
So
you are... I would say you're connected within the cigar industry. You at least know a lot of people.
I know a lot of people.
Okay, maybe connected is not a good word.
It makes me sound like a monster.
That means you can make things happen. Maybe.
I can't make a doggone thing.
Okay, but I'm curious how that started. What prompted it? If maybe nothing. And how you've gotten to where you are now with all the relationships that you have.
I think I kind of just fell into it. I mean, I'm just naturally a people person. And when I began smoking cigars, I wanted to learn as much about what went into making and selling the cigars as I could possibly find out.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you do that is you talk to the guys that sell them and you talk to the guys that make them.
Yeah.
So when I started going to, I didn't start off going to small cigar events. I started off, my very first cigar event was the Big Smoke.
Really?
Yeah, my very first cigar event was the Big Smoke.
Where at?
In D.C.
In D.C., okay.
Yeah,
right.
2001, I believe.
Okay.
And, you know, I didn't know anybody there. I didn't know who Rocky Patel was. Rocky Patel could have punched me in the face with a brick, and I wouldn't have known who to tell the cops to go lock up, okay? But as I kept going to these events, and I kept shaking hands with these same guys over and over again, and they would remember me from all these various events. Then I began talking with these guys and finding out, well, how did you get into this? Why do you do what you do?
Yeah.
What separates your cigar from that guy's cigar? What separates your cigar from your other cigar?
Yeah.
And then about, I think it was around 2011, maybe 2012, I went to the Delaware Cigar Festival. And I ran into a guy that I had met about a year or so before. I hadn't seen him since I first met him. But I ran into him and we actually started talking. His name's Lawrence Miltenberg. He's the VP of Ops for Cubanacan Cigars. And he and I have been close friends ever since. And I started talking with him. And as a guy that makes and sells boutique brand cigars, Lawrence had a lot of interesting things to say about the industry, the way it's structured, and the way the little guy is treated. And through my relationship with him, and he and one of his partners, Ashley Bird, used to put on a cigar event of their own called the DC Cigar Tweet Up.
Mm, yeah.
That ran for about, I guess, about 4 or 5 years. I think I went to maybe 3 of them before they stopped doing it.
Okay.
And at the Tweet Up, they would bring in all these cigar manufacturers and get cigar samples from all these boutique manufacturers, brands that I had never heard of. That's what got me interested. So as I'm going through this bag of cigars that I've got from all these people I had never heard of, and I would call up Lawrence and say, "L, look, I've got this cigar in my hand. Who the heck makes Nomad? What is that? What's Romacraft?" You know, he's like, "Look, you've got to smoke these cigars. These are excellent smokes. These guys know what they're doing. Trust me, you're going to love them." And he was right. And every year I'd go to the Tweet Up, and I'd look for the next new up-and-coming guy. And Lawrence, I'm like, "Lawrence, point him out to me. Who's the guy here? Who's the Skip Martin this year? Who's the Fred Rui this year that I should be talking to?"
Yeah.
And ever since then, I've just been a boutique cigar freak. And I kind of get upset when I walk into stores and there are no boutiques to speak of. And no, I don't consider Alan Bradley to be a boutique cigar,
and I don't think
Alan Rubin would either.
Right.
And you know, Alan Rubin's been a great friend of the club for a lot of years, and his sales staff has been tremendous to us in terms of support for the Harrisburg Cigar Club. I love those guys, love them dearly. And I had the pleasure of meeting one of Alan's sons, you know, Alan named the company after his sons, Alec and Bradley. Uh-huh. And I met one of his sons last year in Miami during Big Smoke Weekend. I can't remember which one. And I was there with, I don't know if you remember John Lipson, who used to be our sales rep for this area.
Uh-huh.
Well, John got promoted. Now he's down in Miami now. And okay. John introduced me to Alan's son. And he says, yeah, Brian smokes a ton of our cigars. I said, yeah, I'm a huge fan of your dad. And he's like, why? He's just dad. I'm like, you know, I can understand why you would think that. But no, you if you know anything about, you know, the history of how Alan started the company, you know, here's a guy that basically had one facing, had one cigar, and built this multi-million dollar empire based on just his love for doing what he did. And that passion, you just don't find in a lot of industries. You know, a lot of folks get into a particular business for the sake of making money, and
right.
That's fine.
Right.
You know, you're not getting into business to give it away.
Right.
But Alan is, he just strikes me as just being truly passionate about what he does and how he does it. And I talk with, you know, all these other boutique manufacturers, and these people are just, they're all about the love of the game, so to speak. You know, they love doing what they do. They love talking with people like you and me, mm-hmm. who may have never had their product before and want to know more about it. Where do I get it? How do I get it? If you're not in my area, who can I talk to?
Right.
And that's how I developed the relationships that I have. I've talked with these people over years and years and years of going to all the cigar events that I've gone to. And I was looking for a project to do in this room. You know, the walls are kind of bare and not really much happening here except for, you know, a big TV and lots of cigars. I thought about framing all the T-shirts that I have from every cigar event that I've been to and put them on the wall. And I'm like, there's not enough wall space.
Yeah.
There's not enough wall space. I need a bigger house. Yeah. But yeah, that's really... That's how those relationships got formed. I just wanted to learn more, and as I began smoking more and more cigars, that's more and more people to talk to. And then new guys come into the scene. A lot of new product has hit the shelves in probably the last 10 years than probably at any point in cigar history.
Yeah.
I had the fortune / misfortune of getting into cigar smoking during the last cigar boom in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And back then, there was a lot of terrible product on the shelves. People were just throwing cigars out there because people were buying them, because it was cool to smoke a cigar, and there was a lot of garbage on the shelves. And you know me, I don't like to badmouth anybody's cigar. I don't think there are bad cigars. There are just better cigars.
Right.
These were bad.
Wow.
These cigars were awful. Okay. I mean, awful. Now, there is more product on the shelves than ever before, and it's all great. It's all amazing. I think that what we're experiencing right now, this is the golden age of cigars. This is it.
Interesting.
This is
okay.
It. Yeah. It has never been this good.
Will it get better, or is this...
I can't imagine that it wouldn't.
Okay.
I can't imagine that it wouldn't. Guys are coming out, companies are coming out with more innovative ways of aging and curing tobacco. I sat in on a seminar a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about, they made a cigar in the way that they cured and fermented the tobacco was an old process that dated back to like the 1800s when they were curing tobacco before we had all this great technology. So they began using that method again, and the cigar is amazing. So new innovation is coming out all the time in ways that we can, you know, make better crop. Guys are more daring these days in terms of the blends of tobacco they're willing to put together.
Right.
I mean, there was a time when Carlito Fuente used to get clowned because nobody thought that good wrapper leaf could be grown in the Dominican Republic.
Really?
Okay?
Yeah.
Everybody thought he was going to fall flat on his face. Look at him now. He's got the last laugh.
Right.
He tried something new. He said, you know what? I can grow wrapper leaf in the Dominican Republic. And now everybody's doing it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, amazing product. Amazing product and innovation and visionaries is going to push this industry even further.
Yeah.
Despite the FDA.
I was going to ask. So what are your... I mean, the fear is the FDA, they get their wish, mm-hmm. and they can regulate heavily, mm-hmm. which would impede new product coming at least to the States.
I don't think it's going to impede the innovation for creating the product. Okay. It's just going to impede the quantity.
Okay.
That's all.
Will the small guys be able to, if the regulation goes through and if it sticks, will they...
I don't know.
It's a lot of money.
It's a ton of money.
A lot of money.
That's a personal choice, you know, for those guys. You figure if the entire cigar industry, as far as market share is concerned, let's look at that pie. All the big boys take up probably 80 to 85% of that market share, and the other 15% is left for all the boutiques to share.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I don't know, cigars have to be a nine-figure industry. Gotta be, if not more. But you're not talking about a whole lot of market share for guys who are already struggling to put a product out there to begin with. And they're not moving as many units as the big guys, which is what makes them a boutique in the first place.
Right.
So can they survive? I sure hope so. Because while, I'll fill my humidor with...
Yeah.
Perdomo and Fuente and Drew Estate, but I'm gonna miss Cubanacan and Florida Gonzalez and Epic and Roma Craft. I'm gonna miss those guys if they go away.
Yeah.
I think it makes my cigar smoking experiences that much better because I have such an amazing variety of things to choose from.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that these guys figure out a way to stay viable.
Yeah. Do you have a gut on the regulation? On where it's going to go.
I don't think that the law as it was originally written is going to be the law that ends up getting passed.
Right.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movement from organizations like CRA and IPCPR and other lawsuits from individual cigar manufacturers to force the government to make some kind of change to that legislation. Mm-hmm. What that change is going to be, I don't know.
Right. Yeah, wait and see.
Yeah. I think the predicate date is the biggest thing that they're looking at.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that the government's going to back off of the cost for doing that testing.
Right.
I think they're pretty dead set on that simply because that's the cost that they impose on the cigarette industry. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's a lot of wiggle room there. But I think the predicate date is going to be the big thing.
Yeah.
So if you can get that moved up to something a lot more reasonable than 2007, I think that'll go a long way.
Yeah. So with all your... I know I'm making you talk too much, aren't I?
It's your show, man.
I'll let you relight, and I'll ask the question.
Go ahead.
And you can tell me if you don't want to answer it.
Go.
So with all the knowledge you have with cigars, the relationships that you've built...
Mm-hmm.
Have you given thought to, I don't want to use the word capitalize on it, but that's mm-hmm. the only word that I can think of. Have you thought mm-hmm. of a way to, or do you want to, put all of that to use in some way within the industry?
I've always said that when I retire, I want to open a cigar store. Whether it be just a small mm-hmm. mom and pop storefront, or if it's a lounge, or if it's an actual cigar bar like a Lancaster Cigar or something like that.
Yeah.
Haven't got that far into the process yet.
Right.
But yeah, that's yeah. certainly a plan.
Yeah.
That's a plan.
Okay.
And I'm old, so retirement's a lot closer than than I like to think it is.
Let's talk about the cigar club.
Mm-hmm.
Harrisburg Cigar Club. You're one of the founding members.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk me through what started it and where it's come and where you think it's going to go?
I don't know. I didn't meet Steve until... I met Steve in 2010. From the conversations I had with him then, he had been brewing on this idea for about a year or so. I didn't know him then, so I wasn't privy to those conversations. But when Steve approached me with the idea... We're in Nick's Lounge back when in the early stages of Nick's Lounge when we were still sitting on beer crates smoking cigars because we didn't have any chairs.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I think we did have chairs by then. But Steve had said something about wanting to start a cigar club, and I mentioned to him that I had tried doing something like that when I lived in the D.C. area a few years back, And I said, you know, if you, you know, want any help in trying to get that started, let me know. And next thing I know, I get a phone call from him about maybe 2 months later. And he says, yeah, I'm getting this thing off the ground. I want you to be vice president. I was like, okay, sure. I don't know what that entails, but yeah, sign me up. Next thing I know, we brought on a few more members to round out the executive board. I think we started off with about 13 members around the time that we incorporated in 2011. And it went off from there. Had a lot of fun in those early days. Yeah. A lot of fun.
What'd you do?
We just did a lot of events. Roaming Friday, as it exists now, as a one-time per month thing. Back then, we did it every Friday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just a good time.
Yeah.
It was nothing formal, nothing organized the way it is now. We have a lot more structure around it now than we did then. Back then, it was just, hey, we're going to meet at XYZ bar at XYZ time. Bring some cigars. And we had a ball. Even pulled off a couple of jazz shows back in the old days down at Pints. Those shows were just, we just had a ball. So much fun. But guys moved away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get turnover in any organization, especially, you know, one like this. Guys move, family gets bigger, you've got other obligations, kids get older, you've got to do this, that, and the third. And, you know, it kind of broke up. I think of those original 13 members, I think there's four of us left.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
Me, Steve, Mark, and Carlton.
Was Jerry in that?
Jerry, we gave Jerry an honorary title, but yeah, he was a founding member. Jerry, while Jerry wasn't a quote unquote board member, Jerry's title was Godfather Emeritus. So yeah. So, you know, Jerry's a lifetime member, whether he wants to be or not.
Mm-hmm. No matter where he lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We'll go find him.
Yeah. So, 2011 is when it incorporated,
mm-hmm.
right? So now we're in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
What good is the club for the people in the club? What good is the club for the local community? What is its purpose
groups? For the people in the club, and we get asked this question all the time, you know, what do my dues go toward?
Right.
What am I getting for my dollar? When we first started the club, we were looking at a way to get cigar smokers together, because there were a number of different cigar stores in the Harrisburg area back then that don't exist now. And people smoked where they smoked. You had some at this store, some at that store, some across the river at that store. And we wanted a way to get these guys together because, you know, we'd always hear the stories about, well, you know, I hear so-and-so smokes over at this shop, but really I never see that guy. Well, you know what? Let's figure out a way to get all these guys together.
Mm, okay.
So we looked for a way, and a particular venue was, you know, was one of those things that we looked at for down the road. But initially, we just wanted to provide an environment where cigar smokers could get together, sit back, commiserate, network, do what you're going to do, have a drink, have a cigar, have a good time, and let's share some ideas, you know? Coming up with our own venue, our own building / clubhouse, that was always the dream.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was the goal.
Right.
As far as the community's concerned, this is one of the reasons that I got excited about joining the club, is that our philanthropic effort, I think, is tremendous considering the size of our club. We've donated a lot of money to a lot of local charities.
Yeah.
And there's no other organization that I've been associated with that has donated the amount of money that we have without going out and getting it from the public.
Interesting. Okay.
That money is all homegrown. So, you know, it comes from dues. It comes from our own fundraising effort. And usually that fundraising effort takes place within the club.
Yeah.
If ever we sell anything, who's our first customer?
Right.
Guys in the club.
Yeah.
We've gotten into relationships with a couple of cigar manufacturers to sell a club cigar as a fundraising item. And those fundraising cigars always sold out amongst the club first.
Right.
So we're putting our money into the community. We're not asking the community to give us that money.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we have had some events that have raised money through ticket sales, like our holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've raised some significant money for Toys for Tots, which, you know, I'm incredibly proud of. That's a big deal. That's a cause near and dear to my heart. Being able to help out some underprivileged kids at that time of the year, I think that's huge.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I love the work that we've done with the U.S. Marine Corps and the Toys for Tots program. We wrote a pretty big check to the food bank, the Central PA Food Bank,
mm-hmm.
Around Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
We always invite the general public to all of our events. But again, a lot of that money was homegrown from within the ranks of our club members.
Yeah.
And these guys just, they don't mind giving.
Right.
You know, we always say, you know, a party with a purpose. But
absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's always fun to have a good time. But when you can do some good in the community, it just makes it that much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
How about on a larger scale? Where do you think a cigar club has anything to do with the national cigar industry?
A individual club, that's tough. That's tough to make any kind of real headway on a national scale when you're talking about the numbers of guys in our club.
Right.
I know of some clubs that are into, I don't want to call it franchising, but they've got chapters in other cities. Smoking Shields comes immediately to mind. Smoking Shields is a cigar club for first responders. Police officers, EMS, fire, military.
Yeah.
And Smoking Shields has chapters in various cities. In fact, I talked with one of the guys who's pretty high up with Smoking Shields down in Maryland. His name's Aaron Perkins. And Aaron and I talked at length about trying to get a Smoking Shields chapter here in Harrisburg. And we need to reignite that conversation and try and see if we can't get that moving.
I would agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys are doing great work.
I've never heard of it.
See?
Yeah.
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 Because the closest chapter to here, I believe, is in Gettysburg.
Okay.
And one of the things that we talked about was, you know, Aaron was concerned about, you know, whether Gettysburg would be too close to Harrisburg to put another chapter here. And I said to him, first of all, we're talking about it's 45 minutes drive distance
right.
between the two cities.
Yeah.
Number two, those guys don't come here, we don't go there.
Right.
So, I think easily that Pennsylvania could support multiple chapters of Smoking Shields, no problem. So when you get an organization like that, that all of a sudden has its own national footprint, well, now you've got the foot soldiers and you've got the wherewithal to be able to make some noise on a national level to try and impact certain things, whatever those things happen to be.
Yeah.
Brothers of the Leaf is another one. I know some guys who are members of the New York chapter of Brothers of the Leaf. That's another one that's got, you know, chapters in multiple cities. And I understand that a friend of mine runs another one down in Maryland called the Good Time Gang. I understand they're branching out and putting chapters in multiple cities as well. So when you start doing that,
right.
I think you certainly position yourself a lot better to be able to do some things on a national level than just being a local club.
Right.
And it's not that we can't affect change here at the local level. One of the things that I insist on as far as our charitable contributions is that I don't mind donating money to, you know, the American Heart Association or the American Diabetes Association, provided they have a chapter in Harrisburg. Or at least in Pennsylvania.
Right.
But I want that money here. I want that money in my community. I want that money in my backyard. I don't want to write a check to somebody in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Chicago can take care of themselves.
Right.
I don't live there.
Right.
I want my dollar to affect change here in my backyard.
Yeah.
And we talked about early on, you know, putting chapters in other cities. And
yeah, I remember that.
In fact, we actually tried to put one in Lancaster early on and had some genuine interest from some guys in Lancaster to start that chapter. It just seemed to me like that interest just kind of fell off.
Yeah. So what do you see then the future of the Harrisburg Cigar Club? Big question, general maybe, but what's your gut feeling on...
It depends on what the club wants to do. Yeah. It depends on whether or not the club stays true. And this isn't just for for our club. This is any organization. Mm-hmm. If you stay true to your message, you stay true to your mission, and not be afraid to make the necessary changes that have to go along with any organization. You can't, you know, you can't just rest on the founding fathers' doctrine after you've been in business for 20 years.
Right.
Okay, you've got to change with the times. You've got to roll with the tides like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And our club has to do that exact same thing.
Yeah.
We've got to be open to figuring out ways to increase membership without, or at least increasing revenue without letting membership get out of control.
Right.
Because ours is not a club that I think can grow to 300-400 members. Mm-hmm. God bless the clubs that do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think ours is built that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see us engage more with the community in terms of getting our faces out there and actually working with the community instead of just writing them a check.
Mm.
I'd love to see that happen.
Okay.
But where do I see us going? We could do big things. We could do big things. But I think the tough part about being in this town is when you're in a town this small, it's real easy to get oversaturated with anything because there's just so few people. The cigar smoking community is huge on a national level, but in this town, you pretty much know everybody who smokes a cigar in this town.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to introduce new members / new ideas / new blood when there's just no pool to choose from. So we've got to figure out a way to stay viable and to stay relevant with our current structure in terms of our membership.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we've also got to figure out some ways to get those new ideas injected into the current club structure.
Yeah.
How do we do that? That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Maybe chapters is the way to go. You know, putting chapters in different cities, maybe that's the way to go. Getting the faces of the club, if you want to grow, getting the faces of the club in cities other than Harrisburg is huge. I'd like to see us be able to bring back the members that we've lost over the last 7 years. At one point, we had 65 members on the roster. Why did we lose those people? How did we lose those people? And more importantly, how do we get them back?
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
So good.
It is. All right, we'll bring it back to you.
Hmm.
Just say two more questions.
Uh-oh.
One you already know that is hanging out there. So why do you smoke cigars?
Because if I didn't, at least one of my children would have gotten killed by now.
Okay.
So I did it to save the lives of my own progeny.
All right.
No, this is... I have very few vices anymore. You know, I don't gamble as much as I used to. So drinking and smoking are really all I got left.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like everybody else. I have a very high-pressure job. I need to relax. I need to relax at the end of a day. And there's nothing better for relaxing in my book than one of these right here.
Yeah.
I smoke one of these every day after work, after dinner. If I'm working from home, I might smoke two or three.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this is the ultimate relaxation right here.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah. Why is that, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe it's because I get a chance to just sit down and not have to do anything. I don't have to be the boss. I don't have to solve the problem. I don't have to be the guy that, you know, pulls XYZ company out of the mud and make them profitable again, including my own. All I get to do is sit back with me and some music and a bottle of bourbon and just do nothing. And just sit back and do nothing.
Yeah.
But enjoy one of these.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. So add to that, if you could have a cigar with anyone while you're relaxing and you're mm-hmm. drinking your bourbon, if you could have a cigar with anyone, living or dead,
mm-hmm.
who would it be?
It's easy. My dad.
And why is that?
When I first started smoking cigars, so that was 1996, my dad started smoking cigars again about, I'm going to say maybe 2 years after that. And the best times that I had with my dad were in a cigar lounge in D.C. or on my deck, just having a cigar and drinking some scotch. Had the best times. And my dad passed in 2006. And I can remember, I found some cigars that I had given him for Christmas, I guess maybe a year or two before that. And I remember my mom fussing at me. Why did you buy him a box of cigars? He's just going to smoke up the house with those stinking cigars. Blah, 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 blah. I said, Mom, you need to let that man alone and let him enjoy his cigars. He earned it. He's earned that right. Just as wait, you know, let her get away with murder, let him have a cigar. But we used to have, I'll never forget this, it was probably about maybe 2 months before he passed. My brothers, my dad, and I were all over, and I think it was still Crockenberry's back then, we're all over at Crockenberry's having a cigar and just shooting the shit, just having a ball, talking about absolutely nothing. And that was probably the first time that the four of us had gone out in I don't know how long. And consequently, that was the last time.
Hmm.
And yeah, I'd love to be able to do this with him one more time.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Where would you do that at?
Probably here. Yeah. Probably sitting right where you're sitting.
Simple.
You know?
Yeah. You drinking anything?
Ugh, my dad was a big Johnny Walker fan.
Okay.
So every year on his birthday, August 12th, my brothers and I get together and we do a little toast to Dad with some Johnny Black. Nice. Every year.
That's what he would drink, Johnny Black. Yeah.
Well, his favorite was 30-year-old Ballantine. But you can't find that anywhere. And if you could, it would cost you an arm and a leg and probably a kidney.
Okay.
So, no, we don't drink that.
Okay. All right.
We don't drink that. And he didn't drink it that often.
Yeah.
But yeah, Johnny Black.
Johnny Black with Dad.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
That's good. Well, I appreciate your time. We can wrap it up. You've answered a lot of questions. I'll let you focus on your cigar. Do you have any you can plug whatever you want to plug, any closing thoughts?
We don't do shout outs here.
Okay. That's easy for me.
We don't do shout outs here. Shameless plugs though. It's Atlanta Cigar Week, and a number of friends of mine are down there. It's literally a week long of festivities. Multiple events a day, and I wish I was there. I was this close.
Yeah.
To pack in a bag and hopping on a plane today to go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
So a couple of good friends of mine, Cigar Mike Bennett and Lawrence Miltenberger, are both down there having a ball without me. So
Yeah. Shout
out to those guys.
All right. Cool. Well, I appreciate your time, Brian.
No, man, I appreciate you wanting to talk with me.
Hospitality.
I'm probably the last topic I want to talk about, but... You figured out a way to squeeze it in. I appreciate it.
And you did it very well. Very well indeed.
So thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks so much, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Don't Touch My Cigars podcast. If you enjoyed it, please be sure to subscribe and look us up on iTunes so that you can leave a rating or review. Doing so will help other brothers and sisters of the leaf find the podcast. And finally, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, ideas, thoughts, if you would like to be interviewed on the podcast, if you know who I should interview on the podcast, please head to don'ttouchmycigars.com and use the very simple form on that page to send me a message. Again, that's don'ttouchmycigars.com. Thanks again for listening. Talk soon. Cheers.